The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
April is almost over. Ratings books are coming back. Things are starting to feel pretty normal in the world of sports media. Thanks so much for joining me on today's show. We've got a lot to get to. Jay Mariotti is going to be a part of the show today, and despite the fact that the European Super League flamed out just as quickly as it came together, we are going to talk about this column that he had up on Tuesday explaining why American sports fans don't need to worry about something like that happening here. I agree with him. I just don't think we come to the conclusion in the same way. Also, Brian Noe and I are going to get into an in-depth discussion on sports radio in the early days of Dan Le Batard. That is all coming up. But first, it was hard not to notice over the last weekend just how into this Jake Paul boxing match the media was. And the media was clearly following the lead of fans, right? I posted this on Twitter. You know, Saturday night, ABC, I guess, all part of the Disney family, had the Celtics and Warriors on Saturday night primetime. And Steph Curry is in the middle of his hot streak. He goes off for 47 points. On the other side, Jason Tatum goes off for 44 points. You have two top 10 players in the league combining for 91 points. And the SportsCenter Instagram account, the ESPN Instagram account, both had more highlights from this pay-per-view exhibition boxing match between a YouTuber and a guy who is not a boxer. You know, I think that it is worth paying attention to, and Mike Greenberg talked about this on Greeny, his radio show on ESPN Radio. It is worth paying attention to what it is young sports fans are reacting to right now, because they don't watch games the way you and I did when we were 18. They are not into sports the way we were when we were 18, and it is largely because of what is at their fingertips. Jake Paul, despite the fact that he is not a particularly accomplished boxer, I don't know enough about the sport to tell you whether or not he's legitimately good, but he is certainly not fighting legitimate boxing competition. This is an attraction to them because so many of them grew up watching Jake and his brother Logan, who I think is about to fight Floyd Mayweather, if I remember correctly. Anyway, they grew up watching those guys on YouTube, and so they feel like they know these guys intimately and have a rooting interest in this guy. And on top of that, the Paul brothers team have done such a good job of turning this into a celebrity event. Kendall Gill, the former NBA player who is trained as a boxer, told this story to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score earlier this week, that he challenged Jake Paul to a fight. And Jake Paul's team said that with 19,000 followers on Twitter, Kendall Gill was not a big enough celebrity for them to entertain fighting. Is this a hustle in terms of sporting events? Yeah, absolutely. Is this brilliant in terms of marketing? Yes, absolutely. And I think that we need to pay attention to how the audience is paying attention to this. I don't know that there is a right way to talk about something like a Jake Paul boxing match on sports radio, but it does perfectly showcase the divide between what fans of our generation and older are looking for versus what the next generation is looking for. And that is the, I guess that is the needle that we are going to have to thread going forward. What is sports talk, be it both radio, podcast, on television, whatever? What is the focus going forward? Because these sorts of boxing matches, these sorts of celebrity events don't come about every single day. So is less X and O and more guy talk and more stories the way to go as we try to figure out how to engage that 18 to 25 year old sports fan? So I always enjoy Jay Mariotti's thought-provoking pieces for our site, particularly when they cross the realities of media and what is going on in the sports world. Jay, it feels like we saw the idea of a European Super League in soccer fizzle just as quickly as we found out, it had come together. And you wrote a piece about, you know, American sports fans need to relax a little bit. This isn't something that seems like it could happen here. And I think you're right, and we'll go into the reasons why in terms of the media relationship in just a moment. But one of the things I was surprised you didn't hit on is that America has set up all of its leagues as super leagues already.
Well, you're right. That's true, and that's what they were trying to emulate in Europe. And by no coincidence, Dimitri, you had the likes of Stan Kroenke and John Henry and the Glazer family, all of whom own American sports franchises, trying to do that there. You're right. It's a different paradigm over there. But that said, I'm fascinated how quickly it crumbled, because when I read that Prince William, who is the heir to the kingdom, comes out of basically mothballs, we never hear from Prince William about anything, and issues a statement. Well, that sort of sent the whole thing tumbling, first Chelsea, then the others. And and I think what it proves is what I wrote on Monday and quickly became an obsolete column, is that it's impossible to break through the structure we have in America, which is these mega TV contracts that extend for 11 years. Fans in this nation get upset about a lot of things, but you should be very happy that we have this structure here, and you won't see some sort of a coup like we saw in Europe.
It's very interesting. You brought up a number of hypothetical scenarios that you didn't think we would see. And one of the ones that really stood out to me was, you know, it would be hard to imagine the Dodgers and Yankees sort of complaining about having to subsidize a team like the Rays, who, you know, don't spend a whole lot of money. They cannot keep their stadium filled. It really does, as I was reading your piece and thinking about this, where, if there was potential anywhere, it does seem like in the pro sports, baseball would be the one where there is enough of a divide that you could see somewhere down the road the haves not wanting to be in business with the have-nots anymore.
Yeah, but could you imagine the Yankees, Dodgers, and by the way, the Yankees can't beat the Rays. The team they have subsidized for years, they can't beat them, and the fans are pissed off. See, Dodgers, Yankees, Cubs, Giants, I could pull a handful out. But and this is what I wrote, we're going to get tired in a hurry of the same narrative. Mm-hmm. That's what would have happened in this Euro Super League. The beauty of American sports, the paradigm we have here, is that allows for the San Antonio Spurs to have a dynasty in a little market. The Pittsburgh Steelers, where I grew up, to win 6 Super Bowls. The Green Bay Packers to have a place in mythology. It allows for that. Help, take it to college, Gonzaga, Baylor. We love the fact, and certainly people in mid to small markets love this, that the identity of those cities is involved in a big time way. What would Green Bay be without the Packers? That's why, even though I get aggravated quite a bit about the sports industry, where it's headed, gambling, so on, I can sit back and appreciate that a quote unquote have not can beat a have in our system. And that over in Europe, we would have just had all haves and it wouldn't have been any fun at all.
Well, okay, so you mentioned taking it down to college, and that is where I sort of look at what the media has invested in all of these big conferences across both basketball and football. And I wonder if for the media, for fans certainly, but for the media stakeholders, it would not be beneficial if we went opposite and adopted the more traditional European soccer model of promotion and relegation. I would think that there would be a different level of fan engagement if, say, we are looking at the end of the football season in the SEC and saying, you know, South Carolina, sorry, you couldn't pull your weight. You're out. Coastal Carolina, come on up.
Yeah, I hear you, but I think that horse is out of the barn. College basketball is filthy dirty, and I don't really see that getting any better in the future. We have enough problems in sports with cleaning it up and so on to have some sort of revolution where there's more greed involved. We don't need any more greed. We need the fun, if we can still call them Cinderella stories, we need those stories to keep sports going, or else we're all going to get sick of it in a hurry. Back up to what you said earlier about baseball. I suppose there are probably some big, the Dodgers owners, I'm sure John Henry, for instance, the Liverpool owner, has thought about it in Boston with the Red Sox. I'm sure they have thought about a Super League, and I'm sure it could be pulled off because we have franchises like Pittsburgh, Oakland,
right.
Tampa Bay that you could think about contracting at this point. But, nah, I thought about this when I wrote this column. You know, Dimitri, it comes down to carrying your weight, winning by your own merit. The Yankees have all these advantages
right.
in New York. They can't win a World Series, but yet the Rays can get to one last year. So there are that's why it's great to see, you know, last year we're about the Marlins, you know, getting to the playoffs and the Rays getting the World Series. Yeah, the networks hate it, but for those of us who really try to love sports, it's great to still have those sort of stories possible in this country.
So Brian Noe always writes great profile pieces at the site whenever he does write them. But occasionally, Brian, you write one that I feel like just completely stands out from the rest. And this one you wrote this week about Mark Hochman is so interesting. Mark obviously now is a Miami sports radio, really a Miami radio icon in his own right. But he made the switch from music radio over to sports radio because he was friends in college with Dan Le Batard. And until Dan had the idea to do the kind of sports radio show he did, that just wasn't something Mark thought would ever appeal to him.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how he didn't even want to go into the industry with his friend because of how the industry typically was, where it's the expert and the host knows all and you unwashed peasants, you don't know what you're talking about and I'm the authority and all this stuff. And it just didn't appear to Hawk at all. And in comes Dan Le Batard and he's like, I'm just going to talk like I normally talk. And Hawk was like, okay, actually, I could go for that because it was severely lacking at the time.
Yeah, it's weird. All of us that started in radio young and were brought up with the quote-unquote rules, the idea of just having a conversation, it's so interesting, isn't it, that the idea of just being human and talking the way humans talk feels revolutionary to us the first time it's proposed.
It is. It was so funny when Mark was talking about that when he was describing Le Batard. And it is, it's such a simplistic idea, but it was so different. It's almost like you just keep overlooking it. So yeah, just to poke fun at yourself and to be human, we always value those things with athletes.
Mm-hmm.
It would never be different with hosts. So Le Batard, he really did change the game. He's kind of Steph Curry-like in that regard, where he changed the way things are thought of. It's almost like the Austin Powers movies. I'll never watch a Bond movie the same way, right? Like, I'll never hear, hey, put it on the poll question, and it's serious. I'll never hear that the same way after Le Batard, and I think that's a good thing.
It's interesting. So at the beginning of this show, I was talking about the way the sports media, the traditional sports media, embraced the Jake Paul, whatever you want to call it, boxing match, exhibition, whatever it is you want to call it. But certainly ESPN was all about it on Sunday morning. And I was talking about that in relation to how all of sports audio going forward tries to thread that needle with what the 18 to 25-year-old audience wants right now, because they don't follow sports the way we did. And I wonder, as revolutionary at the time as the idea was that Hawk and Le Batard and Stu Gotts were just going to be themselves and just talk about sports as themselves, I wonder if at this point there is any win in going back to the way sports radio sounded in the late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think there is, because, you know, if you and I, Dimitri, if we go out and we grab some food or whatever, our conversation is going to, it's going to go in a lot of different directions.
Right.
And it's not only going to be hardcore sports. And to your point with the younger generation, I think it's even more so like that. So for a young guy to turn on just hardcore sports talk, we're serious over here, I just don't think that's ever going to translate.
So yeah, I want to wrap up here, because you did ask Mark what he thought about, based on what he knew of Le Batard's past and his reputation coming up and all he's done, what he expected from Metal Art Media for the future. And I got to tell you, I've heard a lot of people with hesitation. A lot of people that feel like Le'Veard is going to be able to carve out something for himself, but this is a very ambitious, very grand idea to start a media company from the ground up, and Hawk seems to be of the mindset that if anyone can do it, Dan's the guy.
Yeah, he's very confident that Dan will not only be successful, but as Hawk said, he's going to just create an absolute monster. So he's worked with him. He's known throughout the years, if you have a style that works, if it's sales, if you just have a formula that works and you take that formula and you put it somewhere else, yeah, you might have to tweak it a little bit. Might not be the exact same thing. But if you have a tried and true formula, with everything that we were just discussing, it appeals to the younger generation. It appeals to a lot of people that don't think sports is life and death. So if he has a formula that works, and he's obviously a smart dude, I don't think that he was simply the byproduct of Disney and ESPN. I think he can be successful elsewhere, and Hawkshire thinks the same thing.
It will be really interesting once Meadowlark Media finally sort of comes together. I know shows are going out right now, but it just doesn't quite feel cohesive yet. It will be interesting to see what this thing ends up being. As for what we are looking forward to next week, obviously we will do a little bit more ratings talk next week as more cities start to release their numbers. I want to thank Jay Mariotti. I want to thank Brian Noe for joining me. And of course, thank you as well. I'll talk to you next week.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dimitri Ravanos. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. And check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.